Throughout all of history, they've only talked about the fame, never the hard work, never the elbow grease, never the early call time.
Good morning, early call time.
Cock-a-doodle-doo.
How's hey. How you doing, guys?
I'm doing great. It's an early call time, daylight savings time.
Oh, God.
Let's fucking do it. I'm really glad, you know, because of all the guests we record, like, no one showed up late. Everyone showed up really on time or early.
So all both of them showed up right when they were, and we got rid of a piece of furniture.
Is it nice in here? We got rid of the couch that was in here.
You can see it. It's in the dumpster.
It was a leather couch that shedded. Which is very uncomfortable.
It was very weird.
Shedding couch?
Well, I mean, still could. We could jump out there and do it.
Or pleather.
The dumpster is right there,
Yeah, you can take a seat cushion home with you if you want.
Sweet.
That's...
You know how fulfilling that was?
We should, put those up on Kickstarter.
Yeah.
I don't know what we're kickstarting, but just, you get a signed cushion.
Here's a Kickstarter for you to buy my garbage.
I thought I was just going to get copy and credit.
Yeah, copy, credit, cushion. That's our motto.
I'll sign it. It'll be great.
It was fulfilling throwing those cushions off the balcony.
Yeah.
It just felt good. Anyway, we have Caleb Claxton in the studio today.
All what?
Hi, guys.
He's very excited.
Can't believe it.
Me either.
We've gotten like 3/4 of the Beachbody crew in here at this point.
That's true.
Yeah, literally.
Caleb Claxton is a freelance producer. I met him at Beachbody the last time I was working there. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we worked on any projects necessarily together. Maybe one.
You helped me out at like 8 p.m. one night.
I think I did an export for you.
Yeah. Oh, it was a great.
Is that
export?
What the kids are calling it?
Yeah. It was flawless.
Yeah, it was
exported. 17
flash frames.
It was pretty sweet.
That was it.
Well, yeah. If you want flash frames, JJ's your guy.
Yeah. Flash frames.
It's like how JJ Abrams is with lens flare.
Yeah. I'm a flash frames.
Flash frames. It's close.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's pretty much the same thing.
Yeah. I try.
I don't know what we're talking about.
Well, Andrew, a flash frame is when there's a frame of media that shouldn't have been in the cut.
Oh.
Mm.
What?
Yep. Just one frame, you know?
Yeah.
2398.
Just throwing numbers out there.
Oh, my God. I want to kill myself.
Do you ever leave flash frames in just so the producer has something to note?
Funny you mention
do
you that.
Do the
is that like job security?
I have a funny flash frame story too. After you,
not necessarily. I don't do anything that glaring on purpose. but there are some times where you play something a little long that you know is going to be cut, like that we can cut out of that soundbite or something a little early or something like that. But sometimes, it's not always.
I don't trust editors.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're all shifty.
You know, we're magicians. Wrong. We're magicians of video.
You only see what we want you to see.
Yeah. It depends. I mean, there are times where I know in scripted, there are times where I like to see a longer reaction on people. After a scene is done, leave on a close up of a character.
Just for like 8-9 seconds.
Well, yeah.
That's
minimum.
They're like, we need to trim out of that.
Wait, but what's the purpose of doing that?
Well, sometimes, I do it because I like it, but I know that it's going to be trimmed either way. But it's something that I feel like you have to show it before they can trim it, if that makes sense.
Because then they'll ask, like, hey, where was that shot?
Yeah, they're like, well, can we have a reaction of that? Well, yeah, I showed it to you, but you trimmed it, that kind of thing.
Mm.
So
you're very spiteful, huh?
Not really.
Spiteful guy.
Oh, no.
I show it to you.
A little bit.
All editors turn into that.
Yeah.
I have a flash frame story too.
Okay, go ahead.
There was something I was assistant editing on, and I believe I was prepping the sequence for color. So I'm doing I'm doing exports, and I see this part where it's just like every frame. They're like, it's either like the motion tap, it's just zoomed in or like moved over like to a different position. It just looked very jarring. I was just like, oh, this is definitely not on purpose. And I call the editor over. I'm like, hey man, I noticed some like flash frames at, this time code. And he's like, no, the client asked for that specifically. So sometimes, people like flash frames.
Well, okay, weird.
It was like six flash frames in a row. It was six frames of just really weird stuff.
Hmm. Six mm-hmm. flash frames. Actually, just flash frames sounds like the name of a really bad horror movie.
Jay Giles album.
Yeah.
I'm a bit of a slow processor, so I'm going to bring things up like 2 minutes later.
Okay.
Okay.
If the couch was still here, would it just be the three of us like lined up on the couch?
No.
Awkwardly?
No, he'd still be sitting
not
here.
Not that this
would be sitting against this wall.
Okay.
You and Nadav would be slightly closer.
Oh. And we'd leave with like slightly more leather on our
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
More leather
no,
than
no, no, back to your fascinating story about the flash frame.
Mm-hmm.
You can bring
yeah,
it up
yeah, okay,
120
I regret
seconds
it.
From now.
Okay, I'm sorry. It was boring. I realized as I was telling you, I was like, oh, there's no payoff to this. Why am I saying this?
So about your intro. Yeah.
Right. What about
wow,
our intro?
Even,
we're going
even
back
further back.
All right. Before you got here.
I noticed that you've got a ring on your finger. What's the story?
I'm married.
Nice.
I'm married. Yeah, got married. Twice. Actually.
Oh, all right.
Not at the same time.
Don't you have,
it's good.
So shouldn't you be wearing two rings?
It's still somewhere. I don't know what I did with that. I should pawn that.
Down at the pawn shop.
I should pawn that.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's good
yeah.
poker money, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Actually. Right?
Or
just smelt it down.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Smelt it down.
Yeah. I remember a good conversation we had about poker.
Uh-huh.
That you were a poker player and uh-huh. that you play, I think you play at the... Do you play at the bike?
I play at the bike.
Yeah.
Play at
you got a
park.
You got a member's card?
I started playing. Yeah, sure.
Yep.
Yeah. Sure, you got
yep.
to.
Yeah, sure do. I know.
Points.
I have one.
Yeah. Where do you play?
I play poker.
Where do you play?
At the bicycle casino.
Sometimes. Casino?
I've gone to two
sure.
tournaments over there.
Yeah.
I had to get a card.
Okay. Well, I've probably lost money to you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I definitely did.
Yeah.
I got taken out pretty early.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where it's like an hour away and you get knocked out within 5 minutes. You're like, fuck this.
Well, I guess I'm going to go lose some money at blackjack, maybe?
Or Baccarat. That's a game I like because I don't know the rules to it. I just put money down. They're just like, either put your money down here or here. I was like, all right, here? And then you just like win money afterwards. It's really crazy.
Or they're like, nope. And you're like, well, that was fun.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Time to go play blackjack again.
Glad I drove to Tustin or wherever that place is.
See, the problem is when you know exactly how the game works, that's when you get inside your own head. You got to go play a game you don't know the rules to. So it's all just like, like you won't get into your own
head. Have you won a lot of money doing that?
I won like $300 or $400 off Baccarat not knowing the rules.
Wow.
Yeah. Mazel tov.
Yeah. But then when I was trying to find the cashier, like they hit it behind the craps table. I was like,
they did it on purpose.
Let's keep this wave going. Let's play another game I don't know how to play. And then I lost all my Baccarat winnings at craps.
Craps is fun.
And then I cashed out for $5. That was really depressing.
Yeah.
My casino secret is as soon as I sit down at a poker table, I get a cup of coffee.
Mm-hmm.
You tip them $1 because the coffee's free.
Sure, sure.
Right. And then
cream and sugar, black?
However you want it, man.
All right.
You know, Caleb, that doesn't sound Jewish.
What?
Caleb.
I converted.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Just so you don't have to boost the audio. I converted. Yeah. So my secret is you get the cup of coffee.
Okay.
And then whatever you lose, you just convince yourself it was that good a cup of coffee.
That's smart.
Oh, if I lose $200 at that poker table, which I never do,
okay,
that's to my wife. it was a $200 cup of coffee.
See, but that's like that's real expensive coffee.
It was very, very good. It's all like 17
taster's
times.
Taster's choice. 17.
mistakes.
So then, wait. So then, like, so when you win, do you convince yourself that the coffee was so shitty that they paid you? Like $100 to drink it?
No, I don't really have to come up with justifications when I win.
Fair. Oh, you know what?
That's,
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah. I went and got a $500 cup of coffee, and then they paid me $500. I don't know. Anyway.
Broke even?
So
good.
So producing.
Yeah.
So producing.
Yeah.
Yes. How did you, first off,
okay.
Where are you from?
Kansas.
Yeah, what's your deal?
Kansas.
No, you're not.
Yeah.
Where are you really from?
Wathena, Kansas.
Oh, okay. Now I believe you.
Yeah. It's a town of 700 people. Well, no. It was 700 people when I lived there. It's up to like
699 now because you left.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was.
So they're just thriving really without you, huh?
Yeah, it's booming.
I have to assume that my family was holding them back. Yeah.
Do they have like
a
subway now?
This family?
Sure.
Okay.
I left when I was five,
mm-hmm.
six.
Just you?
That's when you were exiled?
Yeah. put my Trapper Keeper in my bag and just hit the open road.
That's how I know where you're from.
Trapper Keeper?
Yep.
No, we bounced around a little bit when I was a kid. We lived on a boat down in Florida for a while. And
did it have a trampoline?
No.
You said you were bouncing, so I didn't know what
catamaran,
the situation
was. But it wasn't with the tramp on the front. But, you know, nice boat pole.
Cool.
And yeah, met a girl down in Florida, and we dated for 8 months, and she spent those 8 months convincing me to move out to LA. And
sucker,
it worked. And I was miserable. First 2 years, hated it out here.
Really?
What'd you hate about it?
My claustrophobia kicked in.
Okay.
Kind of like what's happening in this room right now.
Uh-huh. Sure.
No,
you should be glad the couch isn't.
It's a huge studio you guys have here.
I'm surprised there's not an echo. It's so
They actually filmed Titanic in here.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
The miniatures.
Practically. It was here.
In this whole 10 by 10 room.
Yeah.
I think you hear from like most people who move out here, like the first 2 years, it takes you that long to get your circle of friends.
Well, you weren't in Kansas anymore.
Oh, my God. That was a good joke, actually.
No. Don't encourage that.
Yeah, I was like, if you didn't let my flash frames go, you gotta fucking tell. You literally were not in Kansas anymore.
It's the only thing anybody knows about Kansas.
Dorothy. It's the only, you know what I know about it?
No, I've been to Kansas.
It's flat. It is so flat.
It is.
A lot of corn.
And I don't like driving through it. I don't.
I loved it. I thought it was beautiful.
I'm not a fan.
It's a great place if you're paranoid, because you can see people sneaking up on you.
Yeah, from a long distance. Mm-hmm. Yep.
From miles away.
Yeah.
Look, have you seen another person? It's like, oh, they're here for me.
Oh, they're walking towards
me. No other reason to be here.
That's good.
I'm sorry for ragging on your home state.
No, it's not. Backwards.
The barbecue is good.
Sure.
Or was that in Missouri?
Kansas City.
Yeah.
Just split down the middle.
Yeah, it's confusing.
Yeah.
It's not your fault, but I'm kind
of
pissed.
Gotten the better parts of Kansas City.
Okay.
Like the barbecue.
Mm.
Kansas is still pretty lame. No, I love Kansas. I couldn't move back there because it's nice to be able to get a pizza after 8 p.m.
Yeah, sure. True.
So, after a couple of years out here, I wound up loving it. Like, I got some of the best friends of my life and stumbled into a job that I don't dislike.
That's good.
Yeah.
Stumbled into, huh?
I did.
How'd that happen?
What a segue.
Yeah.
You were on a segue?
Uh-huh.
Like,
what?
Like she tripped and you fell?
No wonder they hired you.
I was working just some odd jobs. Like, we got married on the drive out, my first wife and I.
Like in the car?
Did you stop in Vegas?
Just brought a reverend.
No, New Orleans.
New Orleans, okay.
Yeah, we got married in a courthouse in New Orleans. And got out here, and she was doing the acting thing, and I did just some random jobs. I was like a night manager for an apartment building, which was great because it was like 1 a.m. to 9 a.m.
Sounds great.
Yeah, yeah, I did that for about a year and a half, and I had to make rounds around the building, and like I'd be walking down the walking down the halls doing my rounds, and towards the end of it, the walls would shift on me. I was sleeping like 2 hours a day.
Normally I have to take something for that to happen. I pay for that.
He was getting paid to do it.
I just not sleep for a year and a half. It's cheaper than
too much effort.
Yeah.
I don't know. It sounds too taxing.
It wound up being too taxing. So, I had a buddy who was an AP over at E! Entertainment, and he got me a job as a PA, and I said, sure. What that is, but sure, it's better than this.
He's like, what's the P stand for? Production. All right, now what's the A stand for? Okay, got it.
Yeah. Right. And I was very lucky because I only did the PA job for a month and a half before they bumped me up to AP.
Oh, wow.
Oh, you tricked them, huh?
I did. Prior to E, I had landed an agent, and I was doing some writing and had a couple specs and some meetings and stuff, and nothing much has ever come of that. But the EP of the show found out I was a writer, and he started throwing some like minor segments at me and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
I think my first day as a PA, they handed me like three of those green screen interviews to transcribe. like, you guys don't have a transcription? So I didn't even think to say, you guys don't send this out for transcription, because I'd never done it before.
Yeah.
So he said, you know, this is going to take you a while, so knock yourself out.
See you Friday.
And so I went through them that afternoon and emailed the transcripts off, and he was like, you're done? Like, sure. He's like, okay, write this. And so, yeah. If I had actually had to go through what most people have to go through as a PA, like getting coffee, getting lunch, I'd have failed miserably. Because I was just like, you put me in charge of a lunch order and we're dying. Like, we're going to starve to death.
I'm going to get orders
in a four-hour period.
Yeah. That's how bad a PA would be. Yeah,
just draining everyone's energy.
Yeah. So, yeah, they bumped me up to AP, and I bounced around the E-Clip Show world for several years.
What shows did you work on?
They all have Wildest in the title. My very first show was Wildest Wedding Show Moments 1.
Oh, shit.
Oh, the original.
Yeah, it was a lot better than the sequel.
Cool.
So you got grandfathered in for Wildest Wedding Stories 2 through 14.
I actually didn't work on 2.
Oh, shit.
That's why it wasn't as good.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Wildest Wedding Show Moments. God, I hope Brad isn't listening, but this horrible show called Match Mistress.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Match Mistress.
Yeah. E/NBC. No, they were Comcast at the time. Got a hold of all these dating videos from, like, Chicago. These, like, video
just like dating. A dating service.
These the video city? Dating services. Yeah.
Sure.
Okay. The city of Chicago.
I'm already on board.
Has these dating videos.
And we had no. The no mayor idea sent what to them. Do with them. And the EP was like, domain. Well, let's make this fake dating show where we match up the video profiles, and we'll have a lady in a skimpy latex outfit and a riding crop, and she'll be our match mistress, and there's our show.
Go ahead and write it.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So that
must
was
watch
cool.
TV.
It was my first real experience with like network revamping shows mid-production because they realized that people wanted to actually see the dates. So just matching up fake, or not fake, but these like 10-year-old video profiles wasn't going to do it. So every episode we had like a reel.
We had a plant.
Dater.
Okay.
I didn't say a plant.
Right, I did.
We certainly didn't bring in actors.
Yeah.
No, yeah, I can hear the winking.
Why are your fingers crossed right now?
But yeah, anyway. A bunch of shows like that. Just, God, I should have brought my resume. I finally hit 2 pages with my credits, and I can't remember them all.
Uh-oh.
But they're all along that vein. The best one, and by best I mean worst, Wildest Naked TV Moments.
There it is. What was number one?
Was like,
yeah. Oh, Janice Jackson, right?
I don't remember much
or
about
Janet
that
Jackson.
Show.
Janice Jackson.
Who's Janice Jackson?
It's the
some lady.
One.
She was the Jackson 6.
Yeah.
Sixth. She was the cousin.
She was the PA.
That was like one of my first AP gigs, and as AP, I was in charge of just combing through the raw footage. So I had this cubicle at E, and it was right along a main drag hallway, and all day, I was just scrolling through porn. Straight up pornography. Like, we got boxes.
For the job?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was like a bold move. A lot of traffic there, you said.
Actually, those days at E, I don't think anybody would have thought twice if it was personal.
Oh, yeah?
It was a wild time.
Okay.
Hence the title of the TV show.
So. Yeah, yeah, indeed. And I was like, it was a bizarre experience being from Kansas, being like fairly straight-laced. Like, I'm just sitting at work going through pornography.
Is this like triple X, double X, single X? Like
oh,
what?
Like all of the above.
Penetration?
Why?
Sure.
Why? Okay. Why? Why?
Yeah, I don't understand.
Is this guy submitted? Wait, what are these dating profiles like?
It's a different show, man.
Okay, sorry.
A lot of shows...
They're really showing everything in these dating profile videos.
A lot of shows, especially these days, they don't really nail down a pilot and then green light. In the unscripted world,
yeah.
It's a lot of trial by error during production. So with that one, they wanted to make sure that we combed through everything that we could possibly use. So we're going through Playboy TV,
mm-hmm.
and I spend a week going through it. And every time somebody walks by my cubicle, I'd point at my name tag, because it says wildest naked TV moments. For the work. And after a few days, you just become immune to it, and you're just whatever.
Yeah.
So then,
you're not just command tabbing every 2 seconds. Excel spreadsheet.
I knew those handy keyboard shortcuts.
Now. Well, clearly, you've never watched porn at work when they weren't paying you to do it.
Haven't I?
Clearly. I mean, not me, a friend of mine.
Yeah.
And then a few weeks into the production, they realize, okay, well, we can't really show this.
So yeah, why was that not from the get-go, oh, that'll never fly. Or they were just like, well, whatever.
A lot of times people have to see.
Who knows? Maybe good stuff will come from the show.
Maybe the FCC will change their rules overnight.
Is that what he did?
I actually had to watch Foursome.
That's terrible.
I think I interviewed for that show.
In post.
Right.
Oh, to be on it.
Casting. A lot of times
it really wouldn't be on that. Yeah.
No, they're just like, hey, could you unzip for us? We just need a check real quick. I was like, there you go. And they're like, next. For sure.
We'll be in touch.
It's like, well, do you guys, who's editing this? So I went from talent to post real quick in the same interview.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of times people just have to see everything possible before they realize what they don't
want. Quite literally, yeah.
I don't know where we were going with that.
You're watching porn at your desk at work,
mm-hmm.
and then you got into it.
Oh, so then they decided that it wasn't going to be Playboy.
Okay.
We were just going to use a bunch of clips from Dr. 90210, because he owned that.
Complete sense.
Had to get naked to get worked on, and I had to watch unedited raw footage
unblurred
surgery videos.
Oh yeah.
Holy
I don't know.
Shit.
I don't know if you've ever been in the room when a breast augmentation has been done.
It really ruins it for you.
Have you?
No.
Oh. They make the incision around the belly button, and they just take this rod and
what?
Just jam it up under the skin between the skin and the what do you call
sternum?
This?
Breastplate?
Ribs.
Ribs, okay.
And they
oh, yeah, it's violent.
Plastic surgeons
is crazy.
Have a ton of upper body strength. They are just going to town.
Knee reconstruction.
Well, I've seen videos of, what's it called when people are fat and they don't want to be fat? So they vacuum it all. Liposuction.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
And it's the same, they just are jabbing it's a tube around, kind of.
Horrifying.
Yeah.
It's the faster you go,
the
better it is.
I guess.
Good point.
Yeah, I learned that at school.
Yeah. Wow. So I bounced around those shows for a while.
Yeah.
And then just kind of wound up easing my way out of EE. I got a job on Hell's Kitchen for a season.
Nice.
Cool.
Well, yeah, it was cool. They were desperate.
Were you an AP on that as well?
I was.
Did you play Gordon Ramsay?
I was a story AP. And Gordon Ramsay.
So what's the difference?
You can't tell, but I'm quite tall.
And you
British.
Can't tell from my voice.
But you can probably.
Yeah.
So what's the difference between AP and story AP? For our listeners who might not know.
Also, I don't know.
Story AP is strictly post.
Okay.
You do go to the filming to make sure that you see the story beats live. But then you live in post.
Okay. And AP kind of books people too a little bit, or gets releases signed?
Regular AP, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. APs get a lot of the grunt work.
Okay.
They're beautiful people. And when you have a good AP, your life is immeasurably easier.
That is true.
Same can be said for PAs. I have a lot of respect for PAs because I didn't have to do it for very long, so I tend to be very nice to the people.
I never thought about it, but if you were an AP and then you got a job as a PA, you would have gone backwards.
It has happened.
And PA is AP, pronounced backwards. Think about it.
Whoa, are you a writer? You should write.
He is. Working on it.
You should write.
I think he is.
You see things, man.
It's so, you see kind of visionary.
That's really good.
Yeah, so
are you
should.
Public? I want to invest in you.
Yeah, I'm on the NAS.
Thing. As on the chemical Dow.
Yeah.
Dow.
So you should put that on like a sticker and put it in your office.
I'll do that.
As people will see it and be like, ah, this guy.
When I get an office, sure.
As a story AP, is it very much like a story editor in a sense?
Well, explain to me what a story editor is. A story AP, they called me up. It was season 9, and they had greenlit seasons 9 and 10 at the same time. And
it's always nice.
So they had to bring on a second team.
Did you guys film it at the same time?
Yeah.
9 and 10, you filmed it at the same time?
Back to back.
Okay.
But close enough that they couldn't run it.
It's pretty much one season.
One after the other.
Right.
And it was... we won't go into how strange it was. But when I got the call, she was... you could tell that the line producer was maybe a little desperate for warm bodies. Mm-hmm. And she said, you know, you're gonna have to do string outs, and they like them pretty tight. Like, you know, get on the Avid and do mm-hmm. story string outs in there. And I said, cool. I've been sitting in an edit bay behind the editor on Avid for a couple of years now. I'm pretty comfortable on Final Cut. I don't think that's going to be a problem. And she was like, no, it'll be fine. It'll be fine. Again, desperate. Mm-hmm. And I show up, and our first day in post, I had my Delete producer everything. Station, right? I had my producer station, and I get all the footage, and, you know, with all the lipstick cams and everything, they probably were running, I don't know, 45 cameras.
What?
Jesus Christ.
Wow. Just like every angle was covered, and like 16 channels of audio. And they dump me at a producer station and want something cut pretty tight. And
tight meaning like short,
like no breaks in it, like just bites in it.
So the editor wouldn't have to work very hard.
Yeah. So they want you to make a rough cut?
Editors are insanely lazy. I'm kidding, JJ.
No, it's fine. Go ahead.
I'm just running. Without further ado, listen to the outro.
I'm just going to turn his mic off.
No. The editors were overworked on that.
I can imagine.
Should I say that?
70, how many?
Say whatever you want.
40 some cameras? Yeah. I had to make sense.
The editors worked crazy hard, and they had everything.
Hold on. Of those 40, how many were GoPros?
39.
Like more than 50%?
Four. Is it 40? I think the show is entirely shot on GoPros.
And one iPhone.
That turns on and off throughout.
Yeah.
It's not a problem for me.
Yeah, again. Right?
That's really almost as sick as the surgery story he was about to tell.
You could really just think up of the worst possible situations for post.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so fun.
So, they dumped me at that station, and I downloaded the Avid PDF manual on my laptop and had it open next to my producer station.
Oh,
and,
my God.
Like, the first 2 days, I was just like, control F.
Yeah. You know,
step in.
Yeah.
Everything I possibly need to know was, I was turning to the manual. And after a couple days, I was able to put my laptop away, and then I felt like a real story AP.
There you go. Yeah.
And you had to cut all that with pretty tight, as they say.
Pretty tight.
Yeah.
Hmm. Pretty
tight. Tight. Yeah. Tight. Tight. Tight.
Tight. Tight. Tight.
Yeah.
Tight as can be. Airtight.
Are we going off the rails?
No.
That's what you decide.
I don't think we've been on the rails.
Balls in your court, bud.
So yeah, and then that season finished, and I'm freelance. I bounce around.
Yeah.
For people, you know, who don't know, freelance means I don't have health insurance. So
yeah,
you know, let's be safe in here,
even,
guys.
Even with Obamacare, like he's.
Sure, let's get political.
Yeah, I mean,
it's cheaper for me to pay the penalty.
What does freelance mean, other than not having health insurance?
You are a gun for hire. You pray to God that you make a couple of EPs like you enough, and...
Are you okay?
Yeah, do you find it difficult to believe that EPs like me? Is that why
come
you're laughing?
Come on, Tom.
Yeah, that's
just,
it.
You know, I've only met you for a little bit, and already I can't stand you.
This is the voice.
And you have a couple of freelance EPs who bounce around the same world that you do, and they know that you'll work your ass off for them, and then you pray that the schedules line up.
Right.
There's nothing worse than getting off your favorite EP's schedule when he's starting a gig and you're in the middle of another and you have to turn him down, and then you just hope he doesn't forget about you.
Yeah. Do you have like a calendar of events, like email this person? Because I've used Google email, like Google calendars, and just had like, okay, in 6 months I have to email this person, 3 months I have to email this person. Right. That way I don't forget.
Yeah.
But it still is fresh in someone's mind.
My wife is an educational consultant and therapist and much smarter than I am. And she has forced me to set up like Evernotes of contacts, you know, Evernote. Check out Evernote. It's an app. And it's sort of the same thing you're talking about. And,
A text app. Just write stuff down. It's like a notepad.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
You can set dates
and... I'm trying to get you guys some free stuff from Evernote.
Okay.
Like t-shirts.
I could use t-shirts.
We won't give you the app, but you can get the shirt.
I should be better about that sort of thing, JJ. I should... I don't network well.
Okay.
Admitting a weakness. That's big.
You see, that surprises me. It surprises me.
Yeah, you're such a personable guy.
I like people. I like, that's not necessarily true. I like hanging out with people. I have enjoyed the vast majority of people I've worked with. And got along with them well. But you say the word networking and I cringe inside. Because I get this.
Yeah.
Been here 10 years and I still get the image of the Hollywood douchebag. And
here's McCard, what are you doing?
Last night we went to a birthday dinner at Katsuya.
Nice.
Yeah.
Andrew's favorite place.
Yeah,
my favorite place.
Is it?
Well, it depends on the location.
Yeah, we went to Hollywood.
Yeah, not my favorite one.
You're not going to get anything free from Katsuya if you air this part. I've avoided the place like the plague because it just it summed up everything I hated about Hollywood.
That particular one, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Go to Studio City.
That's what I've heard.
Yep.
They want
go right
the
now.
The one in Encino is nice.
Encino's great too. Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. They're not a scene.
Yeah.
The first one I ever went to was Hollywood, and I was like, I don't belong here. I wasn't wearing pants. It was a bad situation.
He was in a dress.
You weren't wearing pants?
I was in a dress, yeah.
Okay. Just like overalls?
Yeah, it was like a kilt for women.
And I got into this conversation.
I wonder if there's a word for that.
A dress.
Oh, yeah.
I got into this conversation with this couple who, as a PR firm, and they seemed genuinely interested in what I do, and I just I froze because I just I didn't want to amp myself up and I should probably get cards. I should probably get a business card. Do people still do business cards?
No, I always hear that. You should have business cards, but you don't see them that often.
You know,
really just at mixers is the only time I need them.
Well, the fact that you have your phone.
Me either.
Yeah.
The fact that you have your phone, you can instantly go, what is your phone number?
Oh, yeah, just bump it. Yeah. The kids still bump?
I don't know, but I know what you're talking about, though.
I feel like someone recently asked me that, too.
But
it's like a fist bump, but with a device.
It's like with the contact. With
technology.
Too many phones were broken.
Yeah. Broken and...
Disbanded the
app.
Yeah.
Is it, not to sound bad, because I'm in the same boat with you, but is it something where you feel at some point, I'm above this? Like,
no.
Or is it just
I'm getting business cards?
No, just like you've been doing it long enough to where you're like, really, do I still have to like go up to people and be like, here's what I do, maybe you'll hire me someday? Or is it just that you hate talking about your job?
Or yourself.
Which is, in which case, you probably shouldn't be on this podcast.
This is turning into a therapy session.
I'm just curious because I have the same. I don't like networking.
What happened
I don't
to you
to
when
mixer.
You were six, Caleb?
Do you charge,
moved to California.
Do you charge $200
it's too
as a bulk rate, or do I have to pay each one of you $200?
I would say lie down on the couch, but it's in the dumpster.
May she rest in peace.
She's in pieces.
I don't know. To answer your question, because
I'm the same way. I
definitely don't feel like I'm above it.
Fine.
I've been producing and writing for a decade, and like I still have so much to learn.
Yeah,
and like I've been lucky to work with some EPs and some producers who have taught me a ton and continue to. So at no point, maybe it's just humility. Maybe I'm too humble.
It's possible.
I'm the most humble person I know.
Easily. Well, like if you combine my handsomeness and my humility, like it doesn't make any sense.
It's like, what's not to like?
Yeah.
Well, I can understand if you wouldn't want to talk about yourself, because I don't. I hate like saying my accomplishments to people. I'm just like. Yeah, okay.
So this is the guy with the Emmy above his TV.
Like that, exactly.
See,
like,
that was red when you bring that
yes.
up. I don't know why. He's super embarrassed about having a fucking Emmy.
That was a big mountain for us to climb. That Emmy was in a box for a long time.
Yeah.
And I was like, I want people to think that I'm important, so put your Emmy up there.
This therapy session is now being directed towards JJ.
God damn it.
JJ, why are you not proud of your Emmy?
I'm not saying I'm not proud of it. I just don't think that...
Why are you crying right now?
Why are you picking on me?
I don't know. I just, maybe it's,
it does feel a little, it's hard. It's hard to be natural and be like, so I have an Emmy. It's like, okay, we get it.
I don't bring it up. That's for sure.
But how do you get into that without bringing it up?
I feel like a douchebag if I bring it up.
It's fair.
Essentially, but at a networking event.
That's why I'm
event,
here.
I mean,
your hype man.
Yeah, maybe.
Or hype woman if I'm in that dress.
Your business cards. It's
Emmy
JJ Geiger. No. Just JJ Geiger, editor. And then on the back, just in quotes, I have an Emmy.
I could, but I don't
it's like
know.
We should hire this guy. He has an Emmy.
He says he has one. I've never seen proof.
I mean, it's in quotes, but.
Yeah. It may not have been him that said it.
Yeah.
But
I think the human. I don't know when you guys got going. In the industry, I was pretty young. Like I was 22 when I started going mm-hmm. to like meetings and such. And the humility worked well back then.
Yeah,
because I was a decent writer, and it was just something they didn't see very often. Just this like shy kid from Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
Who was churning out scripts, and it worked. I didn't, you know, not like super successful, but people
right.
liked me.
Right.
You were asked back.
Sure.
you were recommended
but
to
I think,
other productions.
Right.
You left,
right.
and they were
right.
like,
there
we didn't
go.
Hate that guy.
There you go.
Yeah.
I assume they said
we're not going to hire him, but.
They definitely said that.
He's a nice guy.
Yeah.
It's like you should bring him in to make the person that you're going to hire more nervous.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. But I think as you go along, as you get older, like it just the same stuff isn't working. It doesn't work when you're 32.
You have to have something to back it up too.
Yeah. So I just let my credits, and I let the people that I work with, and I let my work speak for myself.
Yeah. Yep.
Meh.
I understand.
You seem real happy.
This is good. Yeah.
It's going okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would,
Are you?
It's
I
one
mean,
of those things that,
are you struggling? Do you need some help? Do you need like? Do you have a place?
We have
to
a couch
sleep?
In the dumpster. There's a couch you can sleep on.
Just
you want some free furniture.
Just don't throw anything away tonight between like 11 p.m. and 4 a.m.
Okay,
because that's prime sleeping time. That's
I guarantee
when you get into REM.
I'm guaranteeing you that couch won't be there at that time.
Yeah,
someone
we'll
in front of
table.
I might already be gone.
Under one of the cushions. We asked a previous guest about their definition of a producer.
Yeah.
What would your definition of a producer be?
In four words or less.
Well, you can say more than one.
Yeah, but
it'd be impressive.
It would be.
Four words or less?
Yeah, like if you can say it in one
the
word.
The fucking man.
Yeah, see, there you go.
And you say three.
Oh, nice.
I got it in three. Do everything necessary.
Oh, that's good.
Look at that. Okay, now in 75 words or more.
He is a writer.
It's
there was no edit there. He came up with that on the spot.
That's true.
Thanks for pointing that out.
You're not always a reducer. Although you did reduce that to three words. So
that's good.
I guess. A couple of people ask me what I do, and like my family back in Kansas every once in a while.
You should tell them... I'm an editor, and it's hard to say, well, I take all the good stuff and I put it on TV, and that's like that's the definition for that.
Yeah.
So I'm sure a producer is even harder to explain.
Every job is different. Most every job is different. You're there at the beginning, shaping what the show is going to be. You do everything from write scripts to cast to lock down locations to, you know, coordinate talent, you're running shoots, you're often in the side of the business that I've been in, like you're often directing in the field, and then you take everything back to post and you sit and shoot the shit with an editor and laugh, and eventually, you know, you catch a couple flash frames and and then you have a show.
Sweet.
Yeah.
You should call your office the den. And when people are like, why do you call it the den? And you go, because I do everything necessary.
Oh, shit.
When I have an
do
office.
We have two writers in this room?
What? I think we do.
God, den it up.
Wow.
Always be
this
denning.
This is the den.
This is the den.
Oh. Hold on. Now do one for denim. Do everything necessary.
Do everything necessary. Instant messaging.
If... Maybe?
That's probably closer to the truth.
Oh, boy.
Now do Denmark. I'm tired.
Necessary.
Do everything necessary.
I was
Mark.
Actually trying.
Maybe.
Oh.
Maybe apparently really.
Kinda?
Yeah, we got it. Give me more. That's
all I got.
Denise. Do Denise.
Oh. I almost had one.
Do anything necessary in
some
case.
Nope.
Whoa.
No, wait.
How are you spelling Denise?
No, yeah. It's Denise. I-C-E.
It's I-S-E. What?
Huh? Denise.
It's I-S-E.
D-Nice.
It's not D-Nice.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
No.
Well, it's spelled different in Judaism, I guess.
Oh, sure.
The
good
translation's
excuse.
Different.
Oh, no, I converted.
There's no Star of Denise.
Oh, you weren't joking about that?
No.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Welcome. Yeah.
Thanks for coming.
Thanks. That was about as warm a welcome as you're going to get.
Was it?
Hey, after this, we need a tenth for a minion, so if you could just... Jew joke.
This is a tangent.
Okay.
I had to go in front of a Beit Din
uh-huh.
to convert. It was a council of like three rabbis, and they just grill you.
Cool.
And like the guy who was teaching my class, he was like, you have to be prepped. Like you need to know.
Oh yeah.
Everything. Dude, every holiday.
The Jews that convert are more Jewish than Jews.
Thanks for pointing that out.
Yeah.
And he put the fear of God into me
mm-hmm.
about this Beit Din.
Good job.
And I walk in, and it was a cakewalk. Like, they were, these three dudes were just, like, so friendly. And I feel like they were just lobbing softballs at me. And at the end, they were like, great, you're in.
At the end, they're like, what's the meaning of life?
And I said, oh, that's it. He's
stumped
like,
them.
Yes, welcome, welcome. We, you know, it's nice to have someone so tall.
Like, you'll do well in this gene pool.
Did you approve me for my jeans?
We need some taller jeans.
Your jeans are like a size 40. Yeah.
you. It's just like, oh, what's your wife's like? No, I'm not going to ask what your wife's last name is, but is it really Jewish?
I didn't convert for her.
Oh.
Yeah.
But it's Sipowicz. Oh, just for
yourself?
Yeah.
Oh, then you're like even more Jewish.
Wow.
You didn't do... Wow.
Yeah.
I'm really impressed.
Turns out my second wife, her family, very Jewish.
Wow.
Her dad's a Cohen.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's like
a who? Jews.
Cohen.
Oh. I thought you said it was like a job.
No, not a Cohen. A Cohen. A descendant of the priestly tribe.
Yeah, the Cohens.
Cohens.
That's what Cohen comes from.
C-O-H-A-N?
That's like a, but I'm saying like an actual
Oh, but he's like
Cohen.
A legit. Oh, you're saying like you could take blood out of him.
You guys can
step out.
AJ and
I are going to step out. Yeah,
we're
going to go get some food.
Deep in this
juice. Anyway. Sorry.
No, it's fine.
You go to the meetings?
We'll talk about this later.
There was.
Can we talk about my Presbyterianism now?
Go. You can talk about your Scientologyism.
Ew. Boo.
Write down that time code.
Yeah. Not going to write it down.
That stays.
There was some, speaking of, well, no, I don't know, horror stories. We've always brought up horror stories from guests. Experience in the industry. Mm-hmm. Do you have any horror stories that you can share with us? You don't have to name names. You don't have to name companies. Very anonymously.
Things I've done wrong?
Sure. Or someone else. And as many as you can think of.
You can have witnessed
they're always
something.
Good.
Okay.
Yeah, you can keep it as vague as you want.
You're a good storyteller.
You can make something up if you want.
Nailed it. I got it, guys.
One, that was cool. Good catch.
Thanks.
Would be at Beachbody. This is not long.
I said you didn't have to name companies.
I think you
but
mean.
I will.
I think you
we already said. I mean, it's going to be.
I think you mean Meech Mahdi.
It wouldn't have been obvious.
Glamazon
or Peach Hobby.
Coming from a world of
who's the writer now? Huh?
Trying to coming from a world of trying to get like a half hour or an hour program on the air in 2 months. I you know, you're just slamming through. And just make it happen. And moving into marketing and advertising, which is what I do at Beachbody, there's this whole level of attention to detail. And one of my bosses is, and you know, I'll tell him who he is when he listens to this.
no one.
he's just got like this incredible focus. Like he will catch.
Yeah,
just pixels on a graphic that I just like. I thought it, you know, it was an entertaining 90-second spot. I don't know. so you know, there's a learning curve there. Early on, that really had nothing to do with what I did wrong. Early on, I was supposed to make something 4x3 safe.
Mm-hmm.
We had this long
4x3 is SD,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
As opposed to 16x9, which is HD. All right, go ahead.
For your two listeners in Arkansas who still have a 4x3 television,
tube
television, screwed my life. I had this, like, 12-minute promo that I didn't make 4x3 safe. I kept it 16x9 safe because that's, you know, because we live in 2016.
Right.
And, yes. Yeah. And then it was a nightmare. I had to call in. Every favor with my editor and my graphics person to keep them late to like resize all these graphics. It was a nightmare.
I think I was there when that happened.
Yeah, you were.
Yeah.
Okay. Actually, that may be the output you made for me.
I think it might have been.
Yeah. But the fun story, I'll give you a better story.
Here we go.
You can cut that one out.
Goes the juice.
No, that's a good one. It's a good one.
Yeah.
It's
all right.
That's just like, that's an example of why my work is not glamorous. Like when mm-hmm. my family, back in Missouri or Kansas, Texas, wherever they are. I don't know. Who keeps track? when they have this concept of me as a Hollywood producer, I'm like, no, that's my life. Like, my work is fucking dealing with graphics that are the wrong size of the screen.
Yep.
Right.
That you have because you live in Missouri.
Right.
Sorry to the Missouri listeners.
Missouricans.
With no tube televisions.
So I was thinking
the
oh I was I was like 22. I had a couple specs under my belt. Got an agent. She sent me on a couple of on a few meetings, and the first one was this tiny company, and it went fine. and I was nervous as hell. And the second one was at Legendary.
Ooh.
And
as the name implies.
Oh, I'm a bit of a geek. And this isn't, I sit in the waiting room and I'm surrounded by like Batman Begins and Dark Knight posts. They were in post on the Dark Knight.
Oh,
and,
very cool.
And I'm just staring around at these posters. And I'm like, I don't belong here. I'm going to wet myself and pass out at the same time. But it'll be memorable.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Is that what
happened? Oh, this is a letdown now. No.
It's a parking validation story.
So I go in the meeting and we have a nice enough talk, and of course I'm 22 and I don't know how anything works, and I assume that I'm going to be, you know, writing Green Lantern. Good thing I didn't.
Yeah, right.
Dodge that bullet.
And he said, you know, what did you see Superman Returns? And I said, of course. Yeah, you know, I see every comic book movie. Like, I own the Daredevil Director's Cut on DVD. Like, yeah.
Yes, I saw
it. And shouldn't have brought up Marvel. That was probably my first mistake.
Yep. like, oh, you've really done your research. Yeah.
And I said, yeah, of course. And he said, what'd you think? And I'm like, it looked great. It was beautiful. It was a beautiful film. And he's like, yeah, what'd you think? I'm like, no, there's just a lot of... Like, Brandon Routh was a great cast. What did you think? And I said, well, I think you may have painted yourself into a corner from a story standpoint. He's like, why? And I said, well, because, you know, you gave Lois a kid. And now, if we're supposed to root for Clark and Lois to get back together, then he's a homewrecker. And you also made James Marsden really likable. So, you know, it's a problem. And he said some stuff that I can't say. And basically, he kind of agreed that there needed to be a way out.
Mm-hmm.
And
so just kill the kid.
So excited.
Everybody wins.
So excited. And I'm like, oh, my God, this is my chance to prove myself. And I just got as spastic as you will ever see me.
Oh boy.
And I said, well, I was getting drunk with some friends of mine, and I actually came up with a solution. So, you know, if you're doing this as a continuation of Superman 2, when he went into the Fortress of Solitude in the Red Sun Chamber, Brainiac could be part of the programming of the Fortress, and Brainiac could have overwritten Clark's DNA, and so the kid could actually be a product of Brainiac's programming superseding Clark's DNA. So in the sequel, the kid matures at a rapid rate, turns into Brainiac. Then you've got something for Clark to punch and
his kid,
yeah,
his child.
How fucked up is that?
That's pretty good.
It's just a whole family drama, but it's not his kid. It's Brainiac.
Yeah,
and I just the Holy Ghost took a hold of me. For a good 4 minute diatribe, and this,
wait, which Holy Ghost? I thought you converted.
This was before the conversion.
This was before.
Yeah,
okay.
He won't touch me now. And I finished, and the very nice gentleman,
you could see the door,
stared at me, and I realized,
like, not yelling, just disappointment.
Yeah, and I realized he'd probably not seen Superman 2.
Oh,
wow.
Well, that's on him.
And it was just super awkward.
Yeah.
And I think the meeting ended with him saying, okay.
We'll call you if we need you.
No, didn't even get that.
Okay.
I believe it was okay.
And then you do one of these gestures where you just kind of like, kind of just like sweeps towards the door. Like,
he had the electronic door opener, so he just pushes the button.
It would have been a great movie.
Yeah, it sounds awesome.
No,
sounds great.
That would have been terrible.
I'm into watching anything that's an excuse of Superman beating up his kid.
Four people would have enjoyed that.
Sure.
Yeah.
I found the ending the same way. I was like, why'd you do that?
Sure.
It ruined it for me. Like, everything up to that point, I was like, yeah, this is great.
Sure.
And then that happened, and, sure. Oh, well. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So what's the takeaway from that story?
Yeah, what did you learn?
Because you came in with an idea.
Sure.
And that's better than being like, I have no opinions.
The takeaway, I guess, is the industry is a crapshoot.
Okay.
I've been
which lucky. Nadav knows nothing about.
Mm-hmm. I've been lucky. Like
it was the crap story from earlier.
Oh, got it. We're tying.
Okay. Yep. Okay. Yep. Yeah. Call back.
Isn't that Baccarat?
Yeah, but then you mentioned craps too.
And then I lost the money.
I'll be honest, I've listened to like half of what you guys say. It's like I'm pretty zoned much out. Right
everything
now.
I say, I just hope is relevant.
I haven't listened to anything.
Pixie sticks, right?
I can't remember.
I'm drunk. In Chicago. Anyway.
So how long did you work on Breaking Bad?
Oh, that's not this one.
I wasn't listening either.
I did that one 2 years ago.
Yeah, I think that's my takeaway. Is like I'm lucky to have the job I do. I've enjoyed parts of every show I've worked on. I've met some fantastic people. So I consider myself successful. To reach like uber successful, to have gone into that room and now be writing some DC blockbuster. Like I think you put yourself out there enough, you come in with ideas, you stay enthusiastic, and eventually something drops. Or something doesn't. And there has to be kind of a contentment with what you do. Because I think when you're not stoked about the thing in front of you is when that air of desperation and that douchebaggery we talked about kicks in.
That was good.
That was amazing.
Whoa. Very heavy.
We didn't even have to ask for the advice, really.
So real. Yeah, that was
it. It just happened.
Do you have a Twitter account?
Friendster?
I think MySpace? I do.
Yeah.
I don't
Instagram
tweet very often.
Facebook.
I think you have an Instagram account. Yeah.
Social media.
I
just
have
a phone number.
818 represent. I do have a Twitter. It's stupid. It's Claxtonation. Like my name, Claxton, with an Asian at the end.
It's the worst. Awesome.
Here's the thing.
Okay.
I picked it thinking like detonation. Like that kind of Asian. But when you say it like Claxtonation, then it sounds like really
it sounds kind of like a bowel disease. He's suffering from Claxtonation.
Yeah, like that. Oh yeah, I'm really Claxtonated right now.
Claxtonated is actually good. So yeah, I guess they can find me on Twitter at either Claxtonation or Claxtonated if I change it in time. Yeah,
you know what? That's what you should make your email. Your Claxtonated@gmail.com.
I'm at Yahoo.
Yahoo.
Oh.
All right. Okay. All right.
Sorry.
Okay.
I'm on Hotmail, so you're above
taking
someone in the room.
You know somebody still on AOL.
I do.
Yeah.
I do too.
Yeah, you do. Yeah. You don't know him.
No, not the same person.
Oh, all right.
How do you know if I don't know him?
Because he knows everyone that person knows, and he doesn't know you.
Right.
Okay.
Understandable.
No, that's fair.
Duh.
Makes perfect sense.
Study that guy's friends list.
We usually say if you have any advice, but you've already given it.
Okay.
Yeah, you already did that part.
Yeah, so you could fuck off and we will talk to you soon.
That's not very nice.
I thought it went better than that.
No, it actually did. Yeah, you were super fun.
Stop it.
No, I mean
you're super fun.
Oh, you want to hang out after?
Yeah, that scruff, that little stumble going up. You cut our mics now.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Let's turn those down.
All right.
Throw these chairs out the window.
Well, you know, if you want to follow Andrew on Twitter.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Don't. If you want to follow.
Yeah.
If you want to follow JJ on Twitter.
Yeah.
You could also
JJ
not
Geiger
do that.
At 7-Eleven or whatever.
You're not at 7-Eleven.
I should be.
Jesus.
At JJ Geiger 7-Eleven.
I'm at The Real Zuber.
I'm at Very Nadav Show.
We're at early
we're at
call
early
time.
Call time. Email us earlycalltime@gmail.com. You can call us on our Detroit number at 262.
No. Still can't get it right.
252?
Nope.
255?
Nope.
522?
How about 26?
266?
Nope.
267?
267, there you go.
Nailed it. All right. 267? 255?
Nope.
2, 3, 5, 2, 4, 5, 2, 5, 6, 5.
Every week.
Should we call 3, 4, 4?
Just let 5, it happen.
1, 1, 6, 7, 9, 7, 6, 9.
Someone call
918-4-5-3-0-9.
911
267-225 chat.
That's it.
267-225-2428.
I was closest. No, actually, this is the furthest I ever was, I think.
Sure.
You threw a letter in there somewhere, I think. Yeah.
And with that, guys.
Well, you can. But with that number, you can text or email or text or leave a voicemail. Mm-hmm. And we may play it
on
here.
What if you have a question for Caleb Claxton?
You could email us.
Okay.
You could, I could forward it to Caleb.
Yeah, sure. Maybe we'll get back to you, but probably not. He's really humble.
Yeah. Oh, they don't really want my answer.
It must just be a prank.
Am I getting punked?
Spam this.
Send him your resume.
Oh boy,
he will definitely hire you.
Without further ado,
listen to the outro.
And that's a wrap. Didn't get your fill at Craft Services and you want more? Check out earlycalltime.com for more podcasts and information pertaining to the ever-growing entertainment industry. And remember to tell your friends about us via Facebook and Twitter. Thanks for listening.